CliffCentral.com.
So today it's just Carly and I. Carly, what's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Are we going for breakfast this morning?
Yeah, I think, you know what, it's that kind of conversation. You know, we always say, you know, our clients don't give us enough information. And the best way to put you in the frame of mind is when we say to you, you know, when you walk into a restaurant, you don't ask the waiter, please, can I just have breakfast? You actually are quite particular.
He actually laugh at you.
Exactly.
Like, sorry, what?
Exactly. Is it eggs? Is it salmon? Is it like, what exactly are you looking for, right? And funny enough, brides and clients are constantly sending us quotes or inquiries that just have one-liners. Hi, yeah. Please can you quote me for a wedding?
Oh yeah, how much does a wedding cost?
And it's just like, girl, R1 million. And then you're going to say I'm being rude because I say R1 million. You haven't given us enough information. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what we want to get into today. How are you asking for quotes?
Yeah.
And like, what's a realistic kind of expectation in terms of, you know, timelines, costs, all those kinds of things? Because very, very often we find that people don't, they don't have the right expectation or perception. And then you get frustrated, especially if you don't have a planner. Then you get frustrated when you get the responses back, or you think people are being rude. Because I've had lots of clients call me and say, oh, you know, I've contacted so many people and shucks, you know,
they haven't got back to me.
One, or yo, they're so crazy, their costs are so crazy or whatever. And it's just like, well, what have you actually asked for? Because I doubt somebody would just quote you out the side of their mouth just for no
apparent
reason.
Especially when it comes to your flowers and decor,
you know,
they come with these big international design, like big floral features,
right?
And they say, can I have a quote on this?
100%.
Obviously, if you say, can I have a quote on this, I'm going to quote you on what you've attached to your reference
those
email.
Pictures is, yeah, and this is the thing, you don't give enough information. So I kind of want to start, like, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. Like, what are, perhaps maybe for you, Carly, like, what are particular, like, basics that you hope that a client does before maybe we even start with the actual content of the actual brief? And when we say brief, the brief is basically the information that you give to a supplier when you want to expect a quotation back.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, introduce who you are. When are you getting married? Where are you getting married? Have you booked a venue? Because I mean, that's got a lot to do with it. It helps you with the style side of things. You know, what is the type of wedding you're looking for?
Right.
Are you looking for something intimate and just very exclusive, or are you looking to have a lot of people? How many guests are you having?
Right.
You know, just that type of detail.
I was actually thinking like further back,
I think
you're
no.
But I think what you're saying is all correct. But I'm saying that, you know, for me, I always say to my clients, try to, not even my clients, just to even the students and somebody who's perhaps consulting with me, I say, call your supplier before you actually send them an email. Because a lot of the times I find that because you're not in the wedding industry, you don't have like the vocab to ask for the right things.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is that your email is very vague and then the quote that you get back doesn't match what you thought you had asked for. So at least when you pick up the phone and you speak to your supplier, they will ask you the relevant questions so that they get the information that they need in order to quote you.
Can we go a step further and say that what is the best day to contact suppliers for?
Excellent. I think, what is the best day for you? No, 100%. Because we do have
Tuesdays, Wednesdays are your best days.
100%.
Because your suppliers are getting the admin done on the Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You've got to remember that suppliers are working on the weekends.
Those are like our busy days.
We do not have our off weekends. I mean, if we do, it's like gold.
Yeah, those three but weekends in a year.
Generally Mondays, and sometimes even people have
Tuesdays
off.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Thursday and Friday. It's all
you're prepping
for the next weddings. So, you know, I would say Tuesday and Wednesday, if you want anything done and you want suppliers to react to your email quickly, and a lot of people want instant gratification. They want that.
But
they're not also understanding what the time frame is. 100%.
And I'd also like to just give a word out to the suppliers. Something that I find quite frustrating in asking for quotations and stuff is this thing of giving clients, even the wedding planners, basically anybody who asks for an inquiry, this thing of giving people homework. I don't think if somebody's inquiring about your business and asking for information or a quotation, I don't think it's necessarily fair for you to give them homework. And what I mean by homework is when people say, oh no, we don't take stuff on the phone, send me a mail.
Yeah, I mean, really.
That that's homework. That means you must drop the phone, find the email address, and type up this email or whatever the case is. And my whole thing is, especially when it's somebody who's not in the wedding industry, they don't actually know what to ask you for. Like, I understand when people, not that I understand, you obviously need to give us more information. But, you know, if somebody isn't in the industry, how on earth will they know to say, I want a vase that's this high, I want a mirror base, I want these chairs, and da-da-da-da-da-da. All they can speak in is pictures. So how on earth do you expect the right information?
I think that's for any company. It doesn't matter whether you're in the industry or not. That whole phrase of, just send me an email.
Yes. Really, it makes me so...
not being a salesperson 100%, for your business.
100%.
I actually would rather go somewhere else.
100%. And, you know, I remember when my assistant first started, I used to hear her on the phone saying that. I said, we got to stop. Because if I call someplace and I want to give them business and they say to me, send me a mail instead of talk to me over the phone, I'm going to go to somewhere where they want to talk to me. It's the same as I've seen a lot of companies have started with these questionnaires and stuff that their clients must fill out. Homework, again. That's, you know, let's try and assist our clients. Yeah. Yes, you are pressed for time, but this is somebody that's interested in paying you money for a service. Why not make that process as easy as possible? So, you know, this is my plea to the suppliers, that please, guys, especially, you know, I don't mind as a wedding planner because I suppose that's part of my job, but especially when you're dealing with clients, help them over the phone. Even if a client says to you, please can, and I know time
is
so
busy.
Yes, there's never a good time. No. You know,
and a lot of the times they'll probably do it in the car in the traffic.
You understand?
You know, they've got their Bluetooth on and they're sitting in traffic. There's nothing else that they
100%,
can do. 100%. They want to pick up the phone. They don't want to time.
They're on the internet. And they say, you know what, I'm going to push out these 7 calls and just get them done. Bum, 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 bum. And I promise you, and it's what Carly's saying is, you know, faster stuff does live longer in this industry. And sometimes it sucks, but you know, your clients do expect now for now, you know?
And you know what, we see it time and time again with our students, because they do have to contact the suppliers and things like that. And they say they cannot believe how slow
the service is.
And we are in a service industry. You know what? Don't... just because you're busy now, don't forget about
what's going to happen in the future. 100%. Because the business you're booking now. And you know, I'm also going to smack myself on the wrist, because I know also I can sit for 2 days without getting back to somebody with emails. And it's not on purpose. It's just, you get to work, I'm in the studio, I'm teaching, you know, there's a wedding, there's a setup, there's all these other things that are happening, and you find yourself out of the office for 3 days. So there isn't time for admin.
Sometimes what we'll do is we'll just pick up the phone to a client and say, you know what,
just
I'm
explain.
So sorry we're not getting back to your email. Or the quote is taking a little bit longer.
100%.
We have this wedding. And I mean, most of the couples do understand. They don't want you to be doing admin on the day of their wedding.
You know, they'd be upset if you're like supposed to be sitting up and you're there typing. You know, they'd be like, shucks, what exactly are we paying for? But just, you know, manage it, you know, to supply, especially people that are maybe starting in the industry, perhaps students that are listening, anybody who's interested in getting into the industry, if you're a supplier already in the industry, please, guys, let's look after our clients. Stop giving your clients homework. Take care of your clients. Client service is really why people, you know, people are starting to pay more for service than the actual product that you are doing. So if you make that experience better and the most
easier
and efficient for someone, then, you know, you're bound to get more repeat business from them or referral business from them. So back to now what we want to actually...
we had a gripe to get that out today.
Oh, I had to clear it. Okay, so now we're getting into the actual content now of this stuff. So yes, now you've called the person. And I always say it's nice to call, speak to a particular person instead of sending to an info address. You know, if you pick up the phone and you speak to Carly or, you know, Ndombi or whoever the case is, then at least Carly's going to say, send me an email to my email address or whatever the case is. And now you guys are communicating directly instead of an inbox, where some companies they only check it maybe once a day or once a week or whatever the case is. So then you guys have that already, that relationship. Then now the thing is the content of this brief, and I'm going to like get into the flower one, because obviously, Carly, that's kind of what you do.
Forte.
And I think that's where the things that you had mentioned before come in. You know, the general information, the stuff before you even get to the nitty gritties of what you want for your wedding, is very important. Like you had mentioned before, what had you mentioned?
The date of the wedding. The
so
venue,
important.
The number of suppliers, the number of guests. You know, is there anything else, you know, what else have you organized? Your color scheme.
Yeah.
Is there, you might be having pink, but is there a base color? Are you going with nudes? Are you going with cream, white? What are you
So let's get into that. In terms of a color palette, because I'm hearing you say base color and stuff like that. That's actually like a color palette. For somebody who's listening, who's not in the industry, what kind of advice would you say in terms of colors? When somebody says to you, I'm just doing pink.
Oh, it's, you know, how many shades? It's like, there's 50 shades of grey or more. You know, like, there's 50 shades
right?
of pink.
Yeah.
Too.
A million.
You know, also, you've got to, you don't want to just have pink, you know, especially if you are, you're marrying a man.
Yes.
And there is a man involved in this whole wedding.
Right.
You really want to just not dress him in pink.
Right, right, right.
So you want to bring in an accent color. So, you know, we've had a lot of navies come in. We've seen a lot of grays. Mm. And some people are going for the pinks and whites, very, very softer colors. Mm. But when it comes to your base colors, be very careful on what you're choosing. Because say, for instance, I say pink.
Right.
And you're going to have a base color of black.
Right.
What does it say to you? It's very much birthday.
Yes.
Or 21st. Yes. Or, you know,
not so, wedding is my first thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it can be very harsh.
Yes.
But you go pink, black, and white.
Right.
It could look a bit.
It
like
lifts it a bit.
Type.
Yes.
You go with
yes.
that type of vibe.
Right.
You know? So it does lift it. I always say you've got to bring in a lighter color.
Right.
You can't really go for dark, dark,
dark.
Dark
and
everything.
Yeah. You know, there was a period where people, when you say the pink and black, people are doing that whole cerise and black.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah. And you always had to like caution a client and say, ish, it's just, it's too dark yeah. for
I think
a wedding.
When you're looking at your color palettes, look at something that's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to look back in 10 years' time and think, what the hell was that? I think,
gosh,
you know?
What a mess. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so just consider like other colors. So it's always, I think, you know, we've always grown up to say it's one color and white or one color and black or whatever the case is. You can, it's definitely allowed to have, you can have four colors if you want to, with a base color like a cream or whatever.
Yeah. You know, we've had a trend of pastels. It's so lovely, especially with the bridesmaids.
Mm.
You know, not everyone suits pink.
100%.
Or not everyone suits yellow, but, you know, put you in yellow, you'll
look right, lovely. Right. Hey. Well, thank you, doll.
You know, but put me in yellow, I'll look pretty scary.
No, I totally understand. Okay, so it's color palettes. And then what else is there that you want somebody to include? So yes, you've said the numbers and the venue and that kind of thing. With the theme, how far in? Because I find that sometimes themes box people.
Absolutely.
You know, I find the clients struggle to see outside of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they want to go so much. And, you know, a theme in a wedding can be done really, really beautifully. Mm-hmm. But I always say, don't forget
it's
that it's a wedding.
How much of a theme you
want
that's to bring.
Right, that's
Do
right.
Do you really want it to be fairy tale where you have fairies all over?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, very whimsical? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is it just touches of it?
Yeah.
I think, you know, you've got to be very careful when you're putting too much in emphasis
100%,
on your
100%.
Theme.
Yeah, and I think the takeaway from that is that choose specific elements
yes.
from a theme. You know, you if you say vintage, it doesn't have to be bird cages and pearls and books and like it's not everything.
And old suitcases and
yeah. And the colors. Maybe the vintage just is lace and pastels. That's enough. It doesn't have to be all in everything for it to actually be vintage.
Yeah.
What else for a flower brief, particularly, do you think a client?
You know
include.
What? You've also got to look at, do you want to go and meet that person?
Mm.
Okay. Are you going to give such a detailed brief that when you meet for the first time, you're actually just regurgitating what
you've
put
given
on the
them?
Email?
Okay.
You know what? I do prefer to meet a client face to face, but what we've also realized is quite nice to do is a Skype meeting. You're still
saves. Time.
I mean, I've got a client at the moment. I met her for the first time in person.
Right.
On Tuesday evening, and I met her on Skype. It was like sitting in front of her. It was great.
Right.
And she lives in Pretoria. And it was just like, I like this.
Yes.
You know? And I don't mind it.
I think that's pretty, because what's different? You're still speaking to the person. There's still like face to face time.
You know,
yeah.
They can, you know, you want to meet somebody just so to see if they get you.
100%.
And you can't, you can do it over the phone.
It's that click thing.
Yeah.
It's like that feeling. Yeah. It's either you got it or you don't. Yeah.
So, you know, you can give a detailed brief on email. Then people might also interpret your brief differently. And I think we've experienced it when you brief us sometimes
for
your clients. You'll send big arrangements and say, well, we'll use cheaper flowers.
Right.
But we're like, okay, but we're sitting and seeing the bigger picture.
Right.
So it doesn't, sometimes we don't fit within the budget.
Right.
And then it's difficult to do that over
email.
So this
is a good question to ask. a lot of clients also find sometimes they say, no, quote me first before I come in for a meeting. Because yeah. I'm also one of those people that are so keen on meeting clients. Because again, I always find that if you have a relationship and you see how, you know, invested people are, and that just that whole thing, like you're saying, that feeling, that click, that do you guys get along? Do you trust the person? Do you want to continue with this person? I find that's really important. But there's a lot of clients that will still say to you,
about the money first.
Yeah, you know, look, let's not waste time. I don't want to come and meet you and then realize that, you know, the budget's not going to fit or whatever the case is. So what do you do in that situation? In terms of expectations, in that sense, what do you think is the right thing to do? If you if you're sitting with a bride that's listening now and they say, look, I don't want to get into the email story. I can't email. I don't have the time to email. Whatever the reason is, she doesn't want to get into, get onto Skype.
Simple. It's such, you're doing the same thing as meeting them, but you're just not having to
drive over.
You're not having to drive over and all of that. So that might be your better option. And I really think the way technology is growing, you don't...
It's fine. That might be the way forward. Yeah.
I mean, even when we're doing table markups.
Right.
We've done it for our international clients where we don't even...
Have them there.
They're not even there. We just like...
Show them, yeah.
Kind of move our laptops around.
Right.
Show them.
Right.
So yeah, it's very interesting on that side.
Okay. But in terms of cost, now for... Do people charge for that first initial meeting? Especially for decor particularly. You know, if somebody's listening and they realize that, shucks, I don't know how to do the email thing. Now I want to do this meeting or even a Skype thing.
You know what? I don't. And there's a lot... Most people don't, but some people do. Some people will charge for their time. I'm a strong, firm believer that that meeting is important for both parties to understand if we like each other or not and we can work together. But there will be some people who will charge a good 1,000-2,000 rand just for the consultation. I get where the supplier is coming from because you give a lot in that meeting. But I'm just not that type of person.
Okay.
But
different strokes.
Different strokes for different folks. And, but most companies are not going to charge for that initial meeting. The mock-up, however, there is a lot of cost. It's 8 hours.
Right.
We've worked it out. Just to prepare a mock-up, you're looking at 8 hours of a supplier's time. Then it comes into the actual flowers.
Right.
The cost of the flowers. So it's costing that supplier about 4,000-5,000 rand just to do the mock-up.
100%. Yeah, and you know, the mock-up thing is something I always struggle with my clients to explain or even justify. You know, in the beginning of the planning process, I always, you know, prep them and say, look, there is going to be perhaps even a cost of 6,000-7,000 rand to do two or three different mock-ups or whatever the case is. And it's almost like they hear me, but they don't register. And then the time for the mock-up comes and they say,
they don't want to pay.
How? What if we don't go with them? And I'm like, well, what do you expect? You know, there's a cost involved here. We cannot take away the fact that this supplier is not, and this is the thing, suppliers aren't, when it comes to a mock-up, and we're speaking about decor and flowers particularly, suppliers aren't charging you for furniture, for linen,
their
or
time,
for your vases, or for your time.
The petrol going to invest 100%. All of those items.
A lot of the times, the cost is just on the flowers. Mm. And they always say to you, more than welcome to take the flowers home with you. They're yours, whatever. What people don't understand is, and I always say to you, you know, Woolies is always my best example. Go buy a bunch of roses from Woolies, right? If you're buying a bunch that's got, you know, 8 stems or 10 stems or whatever the case is, it's like 89 rand or whatever the case is. If you're going to buy, you know, a dozen roses,
only half a bunch, by the way.
You understand what I'm saying? If you're going to buy, you know, a dozen or 16 or whatever the case is, you're going to pay 170 something or whatever just for those roses.
And on average, we'll buy between 6 to 10 bunches of roses if we're using roses just for that markup, because we have to give you options as well. You know, sometimes we'll do 2 tables just so that you can have the 2 options to choose from.
Yeah, 100%. And also people don't realize that even if it's one arrangement on the table with maybe smaller little votive arrangements or whatever the case is, a lot of the times... they still have to buy a bunch, even if they only use 3 flowers from that bunch. The market doesn't sell per stem. You have to buy
on
in
auction,
bunches.
Yes, yeah, but not when you're just buying for a markup.
Yeah.
The other thing is that you know, it's just it blows my mind when brides don't want to pay, and you know, we have it sometimes where they'll come in. They have every intention of not using you as a supplier. They're shopping for ideas. We've had it, and it just happened recently, where we've done a mock-up, and we do say that we're not allowed. You're not allowed to take photos. We'll take photos on your behalf, and when you pay your full deposit.
Let's talk about that, Carly. And I always explain this to clients.
Finish my story.
Oh, sorry. Always in your mouth. Sorry.
I'm the quiet one on either side. No, and you know, it's just, she had come in, and we she was getting married now in March. It was literally 3 weeks to her wedding. And we thought, you know, I'd let her just take photos. The chances, you know,
that time frame is already so tight. Yeah.
You know what? We'd realized she'd actually paid a deposit with another supplier. She wasn't happy with the markup.
With that supplier.
The design that
with that supplier.
She'd just come to get us to create the actual idea, and she couldn't get the refund because she'd signed contracts and whatever else like that. And she literally just took our idea, took the photos, and said, "Can you do?"
Oh, my blood
just boiled. Shucks. Yes. But it is what it is. And I think from a supplier's perspective, I will never go and copy somebody else's mock-up. I will say to the bride, I'm sorry, but that is the design of...
So many things to talk about in that statement. Oh, I support you. I support your statement completely. Look, and again, another reference to the suppliers. And this also is actually both sides, suppliers as well as clients. Please do not pit suppliers against each other. You have no idea the position that you put another supplier in when you do that. And it's not really, you know, it's different if you went to an expo and you saw an idea at an expo and you say, right, I'm inspired by this. Can we maybe use the colors, or I like the vases or whatever, and work on something based on that. But it's genuinely just unethical. There's no other word or any way to sugarcoat it. It's unethical for you to literally go to one supplier and say, this is what this person did, do it exactly like this. It's not something we like to do because the industry is that small.
Well, we don't like to do it.
Speaking with that.
But let's go back to like briefing.
Yeah, the actual briefing. My question to you was the whole pictures thing at a mock-up, because I always explain it to my clients, and then again they say to you, well, but we've paid for the mock-up. You know, once you get them over that hurdle to pay for the mock-up, now they say, why wouldn't I be able to take photos? And I say, well,
we'll give you the flowers.
Right.
We'll take it off the vase. We'll take it out the containers that we've used.
Right.
But we're not going to give you the photos unless you've paid 50% upfront.
Right.
You can take as many photos as you want.
Why is that?
Why? Because they're going to go and take the photos. They're going to take it somewhere else and they steal our intellectual design.
Right.
So, you know, I've also felt that a lot of people don't want to buy into someone until they know what they're getting. So
which is a fair thing.
I'm quite okay to do a mock-up, but this is how we operate. And if you don't like it, then I'm go and find your other people. 100%,
because it genuinely is a design effort from the client, from the supplier, and it's completely fair. And I always say to my clients, be honest. I'm always honest with my suppliers, and I'll say to them, no, my client's going to see two other mockups, and then they're going to decide. And it's completely fair if you were planning to do two mockups and you go into one and you absolutely love it and you don't want to see anything. That's fine. Then let's book those people. Let's carry on. But if you do want to shop around, there's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing wrong with telling your supplier that, because if you don't communicate
always said in many, many
just
be before,
honest.
Just be honest. And it comes down to the budget thing as well. You know, I would also even suggest to the brides, do you know, there's so many, be careful not to have the wool pulled over your eyes. It's all great to see beautiful things at expos and to see a beautiful mock-up just, I would suggest, rock up one day at a setup at a venue where they're working and see the quality they're producing. I think that's that is a huge tip.
100%.
That I can give.
Yeah.
You want to see what on the day of a wedding, what is your supplier producing?
100%. And you see, the thing is, how many suppliers are willing to give them the dates is the issue. Yeah. You see, that's the thing. And I'm completely open to something like that. If your supplier has, you know, nothing to hide or whatever, just ask them. Hi, please. And I've constantly invited clients to come see. And I say to them, look, I'm not going to have time for you on the day because I'm focused on the wedding. But I have no qualms with you, you know, standing in a corner or taking a quick walk around, or, you know, just seeing how the whole operation comes together, just so that you can also have that comfort and see kind of how everything comes together. And I completely support what Kylie is saying. Go and see how they work for somebody else. This is somebody that's already paid them, who's been through the process with that supplier, whatever.
And don't just take notice of the main table. Take notice of the rest of
the tables. Yeah, yeah. Walk around the entire hall and see, you know, is it the same, the quality and all of that stuff. It's a very good note to have. But in terms of another thing for your quote, a lot of times people don't like to put their budget on their briefs, or they don't like to tell us what they're working with.
Yeah.
And I promise you, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to serve you. The reason why I say that is because if you don't tell them, if you post these amazing, beautiful pictures or whatever, and you don't have any description to say this is the budget, or please can you use flowers similar to but not the exact order, if you don't have any notes like that, and the supply, they're not trying to find out how much you earn. It really isn't about getting into your pocket or you know what I mean. You know, I know the wedding industry has a very bad rep. People think that we're out to, like, you know, milk every penny that you've got, or we're going to charge quadruple what we would have charged a normal man on the streets or whatever. You know, some people say, oh, it's a birthday party 2 weeks before. No, but it's a wedding. It's just like, why? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But my point is that tell us what your budget is so that we can do something beautiful within that budget.
And it's the same when it comes to dresses or suit fittings,
anything.
Don't just advise people on your budget
for
starting out.
That's
because
it.
They don't, the reason why they want to know is they don't want to put you in a dress that's out of your budget, and then you then you fall in love with this dress that's 20k more than what you're expecting to buy. It completely blows the budget. And Tombi sitting here being the wedding planner is just like cringing.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, as a planner, you have to deal with the over expenditure.
And you're going to sit and say, oh, but Ntombi, how did we get over budget? It's because you wouldn't tell them, you know, or you wouldn't let me tell them. And it's so important to tell them so that we design something beautiful that we know that you can afford. What's the point of taking you somewhere and making you fall in love with something? Your heart is just going to bleed because you're going to essentially going to have to settle for second best just basically because of your budget. So if you communicate your budget, we're not trying to be funny. There's no judgment. There are small budgets. There are big budgets. But tell us what you're working with so that we can work within that. Don't say you've got R1 million and then now when we're planning, it's actually 600,000. That's a huge difference. And you know, and I always say also, you know, the expectations are warped. You know, people always think, and you know, again, I'll refer to Pinterest again. People always think that, you know, Pinterest, because Pinterest is very much sold like a, yes, an inspiration mood board platform, but it has that DIY element to it.
Yeah, and also the images that are posted on Pinterest are generally images that are of professional photos. You know, it amazes me how you can take a photo with your phone on the day of a wedding, and then you get a professional image from the photographer. Your wedding looks
chalk and cheese.
It's chalk and cheese.
100%.
Unfortunately, that is the reality. That's why you get a professional photographer who brings out the beauty in either you, your tables, your styling,
the entire day. Right.
So, you know, it's very different when you're looking at, you know, your Pinterest boards and then what you're looking in real life.
Yeah, and I always say, you know, even if you're going to speak in pictures, say, these are the pictures that I really like and this is my budget. And one thing that you must understand is that that's a point of drawing inspiration from. It's not, don't put pictures and say, I want it exactly like this, because then you're going to get hurt. In terms of costing, you know, Pinterest is the land of peonies. In South Africa, peonies are hard to come by. And, you know, I always say, you know, when I see a bride and they have peonies, I'm like, oh, shame. Now I have to explain that, you know, peonies.
Let's talk about, for instance, like a stationer. You know, you want to, a lot of the times you don't really need to meet a stationer face to face.
You know, I don't agree.
You don't agree?
I don't agree.
Okay.
Even as a planner, I always
want my clients
to go and see the station, because I know what I'm talking about. And as many inspiration pictures and stuff that you can say and say, it's something similar to this, it's something similar to that. I found that
Are you meaning the mock-up, or are you meaning the actual brief?
No. So how I usually operate is that I'll send the stationer the brief.
Yes.
And then they'll send a quote.
Yes.
And then I will send the client to then meet the suppliers.
That's it. Okay.
Because you know, the brief is always based on some kind of inspiration picture, you know, laser cut here, folds like this, envelope like this, or whatever the case is. But I always find that this is perhaps what my client was drawn to, because I drew those images based on our first consultation. But I find that there's some stationery studios that you go to that are so inspiring. Your client, you know, your client's going to sit there and see other things that maybe are going to work better, or maybe they're going to choose a different envelope or a different color. And again, this is something that I try to say to a lot of my clients. I'm an expert in planning.
Yes,
I'm not an expert in stationery and dresses and
although
whatnot.
You are very good at it.
Thank you, babe.
Not that you can stick and pluck, but you know.
Yeah, thank you so much. But I always say, go see the expert, even if it's just one. And I always say, sometimes you see one and you just get enough of a background or a feeling to make a decision or to make changes or whatever the case is. But, you know, I find that sometimes if you just go based on theory and we go and reprint this thing, they're happy, but it's just like, they're just like, oh, I didn't expect it to be like this. Whereas if you go and see a supplier, they can show you what foiling actually is. Yes. They can show you what laser cutting actually, you know, what shapes you can get away with, the different paper sizes, the, you know,
the thickness of the paper.
Thickness of the, you know, those things I cannot show you in theory, but if you go to a studio, you might have a better, you know, a better understanding, and it's going to, it just gives you more information to make a better choice.
It's that whole thing, people love to touch, feel.
That's it. You can't get away from it. Yeah. And, you know, even with decor and stuff, do you find that a lot of people always say, you know, they, I think they feel more comfortable if they go to a place where they know there's a warehouse at the back, because then they're just like,
I mean, when they come, I can say, do you want to go? They're like, so we meet in the front, right?
Yes.
Prissy and whatever else. And then they're like, what if we want to change something? I'm like, we have a whole warehouse. And I'm like, do you want to come and look?
Yes.
And when they come in, they're like, okay.
Yes, yes. It just settles your heart and it gives you more options and whatever the case is. It just helps you make a better choice. But now in terms of the actual brief, the content, maybe you don't have the time to go see a stationer or whatever the case is. What would you say is quite important to ask for perhaps in your brief when you're asking for a quotation?
Well, you need to also decide on what is it that you're wanting that stationer to quote you on. Are you going to have to save the dates? Are you going to have, you know, are you doing invitations which are hand delivered or posted, or are you going to do online? What, as a couple, what have you decided on? So then you would need to start stipulating, okay, you got to stipulate your colors, the date, your, where you're getting married, you know, your the timing, all your wording.
Yeah.
What is it that you want to say on these? What message are you wanting to get across? And then what are the elements that you want the stationer to start quoting you on?
Yeah, 100%. One thing you must understand with stationers is that a lot of the times they do their quoting in two parts. They'll quote you for your save the date and your invitation perhaps on one invoice, and then the rest of your stationery. And then your rest of your stationery, and most likely that stuff comes in after your markup, because then you know what you're doing on your table and you can decide on your signage and what and what.
I would say to my clients, when we do markups, try and have a sample of your stationery ready,
or ideas,
your menus or ideas or name cards or whatever, because that can change the whole look and feel to your table. Don't give me DIY name cards and menus on the day of a wedding. I will freak out, because it can really change the design of my table.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So just speak to them about that. And I think the main thing that you always need to include in your stationery briefs when you're speaking to your suppliers is some kind of a time frame. Say if you need to, and you know what, life happens. I totally get it. Some things happen last minute, or you know, you were going to do digital and at the last second your mom was like, absolutely not, or whatever the case. I completely understand. But then state to the supplier that, look, I've only got 2 weeks to get this out, or I've only got a week or whatever to get this out. What you can expect is a rush fee. Everything is possible, but if you're expecting your stuff to be pushed to the front of the line, then somebody else is going to have to pay for that, or there's going to have to be an overtime somewhere. If you just think of it logically, that means somebody's going to have to pay, you know, work extra hard.
I mean, I think
to cover that,
all the suppliers,
right?
I think in terms of the cake as well, I think cakes and stationery, I think of all the suppliers involved in a wedding, I think cake and stationery is the most
high
underpaid.
Pressure.
Underpaid, high
pressure.
Hours, the amount of hours that go into the stationery. You cannot,
imagine.
I mean, I've seen it with the Crazy Lemon and the staff. They literally just, you cannot actually equate the time that they spend producing that one element. You could never charge for your
hours.
Rate. It's for love.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not for money.
It really,
for sure.
It really is a passion. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because people think that stationery is a cheap thing. People always leave it till the very last or whatever the case is.
And it takes hours. If you've ever had to tie bows, it's
time.
It's
fold.
Folding. It's
and
getting
folding
the fold
straight,
and then it doesn't. It doesn't. Like, you don't pull the paper right.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it can really make or break your
100%, 100%, yeah. And you know, getting stuff straight and all of that stuff, it's so important.
The glue, what glue to use. Because you use the wrong glue, the glue comes through the paper and it looks
terrible. My God. I've always respected stationers. I remember when I did the course at the SA School of Weddings, yonkers back, and we did the stationery course, I was just, it's just not for me. I don't have the patience, because everything, even, you you know, a 3-hour period, you think it's a long time, but you don't get a lot done during that time. Mm. And even when you change things with stationers, you have no idea how much time they have to spend just to make one small change. No, I wanted a different color. No, I want the font a different font. No, I want the, you know, can you move this to this or whatever the case is? You have no idea what affects what. So if you are tight in terms of time and that kind of thing, communicate that.
Simple. Yeah. Keep it simple, because if you're in time, you don't want to go for an intricate detail. It's going to take time.
100%. You know, I like what you said about keeping it simple. And I think this is something that people need to...
Less is more. Yeah. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
Even in your wedding.
100%.
The more foofy you have, the more pain...
Yes. I'm for it.
You know, the more things you have and the more you go on and on,
yeah,
it just becomes, it becomes a stress.
Yeah, a production. And for everyone, not just the bride, for the suppliers. Mm. It just becomes a really high detailed wedding. It's not impossible, but the stress factor is quite high. And I always say that, you know, with brides, it's something that I'm starting to kind of preach to my brides, is that, you know, you must consider that at some point there's some things that you're going to have to give up or compromise on.
Yeah.
Just because perhaps budget, perhaps time, perhaps not agreeing with your parents or your husband or whatever the case is, you need to get to the point where you're just like, let this one go. I'd rather win that battle. You know, choose your battles. Mm. Choose them very carefully and choose what you're going to fight for. Mm. So, yeah, with stationers, examples are always great, but I always say a consult will really help you. Even if you just go to one stationery studio, just to get a better understanding of paper and, you know, embellishments and size and
there's
all of
so
those
much
things.
To choose from as well. And now in terms of cake, Ntombi, how would you brief your cake bakers?
Okay.
You know, if a client is going out there.
To be honest, for me...
It's one of the easiest ones, isn't it?
I think it is one of the easier ones. However, I don't in terms of my process with cakes, I don't like to get my client to choose their cake beforehand. Especially even with the suppliers
even
that
the
I
image,
use...
like the
nothing,
style.
Nothing. I will always call the supplier and say to them, look, this is what we're doing. This is kind of the feel of the wedding or whatever. You know, when you're making the appointment for the client, I'll kind of give them the background of what we're doing and where and like that kind of information. But I do find, again, out of expertise, you know, I'm not a... Like, I can't even make pancakes. Like, it's not... I can't. I'm just...
I'm break with I'm, Jordan I'm, I'm, like, hold on.
Yeah, I'm unable. So, and because of that, I always find that, you know what, I send them to places in terms of the suppliers where they can genuinely do a consult that's attached with their tasting.
Yes.
Because then the, you know, the cake designer sits there and they speak about the different things that they like, the style of the wedding, what time they want to serve this cake, all of those details that I've already given them. But when they speak to the client, they get a different perspective, and then they can say, you know what, based on what you've said, these options I think are going to be suited. And a lot of the time the cake designers sketch on site.
Yes.
So even if there's nothing in an album or a picture or something, they can sketch something right there for them, and then it's a more personalized service. So that's why I always say, you know, I've always had an issue with pictures because people can't see past the pictures. It's the same issue that I have with decor. You know, if you attach a picture to the brief, and my briefs are long, I think this, the industry's so tired of my briefs. Everyone's just like, Jesus Christ, here we go. But you know, when you attach a picture, people opt to look at the picture before they read the brief, and then that's where the miscommunication comes, because you'll say, oh, yeah, but if you read the brief, the information is there. And it's the same thing with a cake, because when you get attached to a cake, then you can't see past it. Whereas there could be something that we can make even better than the picture that you have in mind. So that's my process. However, if you don't, again, have the time, or you are perhaps just looking for a cost kind of thing, then sending a picture is absolutely fine.
You know, I think a lot of people underestimate what it costs to have a cake. I couldn't believe it when Kate comes in and tells us how many eggs she uses.
Or the kilograms of butter.
Yeah. I mean, the expenses are huge.
Yeah,
And then the time it takes. You know, when a client says she wants individual cakes.
and this is the thing, cakes and you see, the pricing of cakes, the cost of cakes is primarily not the sponge.
No.
The cost of the cake falls a lot
on the time
and the design that it takes, because And you have to understand that they are dealing with a short amount of time to be able to do this cake because it's a fresh product. Yeah. And you can't do a cake 3 weeks before and hope to still use it on the day of the wedding.
Please don't. Can you imagine? Yum, yum.
And that's where the cost is. So the more intricate your design is and stuff, the higher your cost. Even if you are having a 2-3 tier cake, the minute your design starts to go, you know, really intricate, really complicated, you know, really higher grade, then your costs can end up, even for a 2-3 tier cake, can be 7, 8, 9,000 rand, you know. So you need to consider that. One thing I always want to advise, people always want to collect their cake.
Oh, please don't do that to yourself. You know, we've had it a few times where the cake arrives and, you know, maybe the auntie or whatever's either done the cake or they've gone to collect. And the amount of times we have to fix because, you know, it maybe hasn't been transported correctly or it hasn't, the structure inside the cake hasn't been put in properly.
You know what? And again, it's what I say to my clients. I think I made the mistake once of collecting a cake for a client.
Did you really do that to yourself?
And I drove, number one, at like 7 kilometers per hour. So the drive took like forever and stuff. And I was just like, you know, I'm never going to do this again because you're so concerned about, yes, the, like Carly's saying, the traveling with the cake, but also, I'm not a cake designer. If that cake cracks or it breaks or whatever the case is, I can't fix it. I actually don't know how to fix it. The only thing I can do is ask the florist to add more flowers or whatever the case is. Yeah, to hide the cake or whatever the case is. But I would rather have the people that made the cake come deliver the cake because if anything goes wrong, those are the best people that are able to fix it. Yeah. Have everyone, like I said, if they are experts, deal with the expert. Yeah. Don't try to take over because you're going to regret it.
Of that particular.
You'll regret it if you don't. Yeah. You'll regret it if you don't.
Now, let's touch a little bit on the briefing of a photographer.
Yes.
Okay. Do you brief a photographer, Ntombi?
So what I suggest is shop for the style of photography that you like. You know, if you go onto Pinterest or whatever the case is, look at the kinds of photos that you are drawn towards. You know, there's something that people call white photography. It's almost like the photography that's always like got a lighter filter or, you know, it's super, super white. Like, yeah, your backgrounds are a lot lighter. Like the photos are very, very light and like much white, more fairy tale-esque-ish. Do you know what I mean? Like rounder edges. It's like really, really beautiful photography. If you find that you're drawn more towards that kind of photography, then you need to start looking on perhaps directories, photo blogs, wedding blogs that are based in South Africa because a lot of those blogs and stuff feature a lot of photographers and see which photographers work you like and then you can start asking about price. My problem is that people go into Google or directory and they ask 18,000 people, you know, how much do you cost or whatever. Photographers are quite easy because they can send you their packages. A lot of their packages are even on their websites or whatever. But I find that sometimes the clients choose a photographer based on price and not based on style. And then they're a bit disappointed with their photos. If you like photos that are a bit more mysterious and darker, whatever the case is, then go for something like that. Yeah. If you like something that's more editorial and something that looks like, you know, there's a lot of effort in like the posing and whatever the case is, there's nothing wrong with that. Different strokes for different folks. But what I'm saying is find a photographer whose style you like and then start asking for photographers that are within that range or whatever the case is. And sometimes it's not a bad thing. I know a lot of photographers where, you know, a client or even myself, I'll pick up the phone and say, look, I know my client can't afford you, but she likes your style of photography. Who within your kind of style is at a lesser cost or whatever the case is? Because, you know, with photographers, it's more the experience and the name as well that you're paying for.
Once they've booked that photographer, do you, like, I know photographers, and I mean, I know the answer, but, you know, would you recommend that your clients say this is what you want done on this day and this pose and, you know, like briefing on how they want them to, you know.
I did makeup for a wedding recently and the function sheet came by from the planner and they had a huge shot list and I was like, yeah, this is hectic.
Yeah.
I don't do
shot lists.
You know what? I think it's very restrictive.
Family,
yeah.
Yes, but.
I think it's very restrictive shot lists and I don't think you have a realistic perception of the time it takes to create certain shots. It takes about, you know, I always refer to my mate, Andre, and, you know, he'll tell you it takes about about 3 to 7 minutes to set up a shot, to get everyone in there, number one, because, you know, your uncle's still talking over there, put down the glass, no, mom, fix your dress, da, da, da. Like, all of that stuff takes a while to get it set up. Then it's the changing out of people, you know, bride with mom and dad, bride, the groom with mom and dad, da, 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 da. So you don't realize how much time it takes to actually set up a shot, number one.
And remember, they've done it many times before.
Millions.
You know, I would really recommend, once you book that photographer, you trust them.
With everything.
Don't go and dictate what they need to do. Yeah. They are the professionals. Don't tell them what to do.
Yeah, I think what you can do is insist on particular people you want photographed. Yes. So if you say, absolutely, I really want a portrait with my grandparents, I really want a portrait with XYZ, that's something different. But don't dictate the quirky shots that you want, a shot under this with an umbrella. That's way too much direction. And then I feel like you're not going to enjoy the day because you're so concerned that we haven't done the shot that's under the bridge, and now I'm stressed because we haven't.
And I also think these quirky photos, some people want quirky photos done and it's not the style of the photographer.
Mm.
Then you may need to look at a different
And that's why I'm saying the style should be the main reason why you're booking a photographer, not the price. Not look at their work and stuff, and then say, right, this is the kind of stuff this is the kind of stuff that I'm looking for. Again, a photographer is somebody that you have to meet. No compromise. There's no two ways about it. You absolutely have to, because the clicking thing is the most vital with the photographer. That person's going to be seeing you half naked on the day because you're going to be getting into your dress and what, and people are going to be helping you and, you know, boob slip and stuff. You know, they're going to be there for that. They've seen it all. So
in terms of a makeup artist, how would you like your clients to brief you when coming
again,
up?
Makeup artist, it's the same as hairstylist for me. It really is about the style of makeup that you like. You know, and you'll start to see when you start looking at makeup, makeup artists and their work and their portfolio, you start to see the kind of work that they do, the kind of work that they do. But another thing that's really, really important is race. This is one place where I think race does count. If you look at a makeup artist's portfolio, and most of their people in there are black or white or Indian or whatever the case is, and you are a certain race, make sure that you have you're booking somebody that's done a lot of work with that kind of skin group, because you do find that some makeup, it's not about the makeup artist's race, it's about the race that they work on the most, and they may struggle to deal with other people's race. Because I always say, just because
it's not the race, it's just the skin tone.
The skin tone, which happens to be color. But you can't get around it. But you know, sometimes people say, okay, well, it's just if the makeup artist can do the bride, then they'll be fine. And you don't realize that if it's a black bride, most likely my bridal party is also completely black, and it's different shades of black. So maybe you can do the lighter black skin girls,
but not
the darker ones. And then you're going to struggle and have that issue on the day. So just look at your portfolio. And it's the same with hairstylists. If you have dreadlocks, if you have African hair, if you have white hair, Indian hair, thin hair, thick hair, curly hair, deal with the person that can deal with that kind of hair, because you don't want to run into problems on the day that this person won't be able to deal with, because it doesn't only affect you as the bride, but everyone else that person's going to be working with. So just take those kinds of things, you know, look at their style, look at their portfolio before you make the choice.
And overall, when it comes to like the briefing, is there any tips or like final advice that you can give?
For me, the main thing is
be honest.
Honesty. Budget and speaking.
Honesty about your budget.
Yeah, honesty about your budget. And also just an aspect of realisticness. You know, there's a lot of times where we can't even make a decision for 4 or 6 weeks or whatever with the client, because the client is battling to realise that what they want is so far.
It's amazing. Like, when Kim Kardashian got married, it was like, I want this. Ooh. I mean, come on. Do you have the money, Kim Kardashian asked?
She paid millions of dollars. For her wedding. So I mean, really, you just
we're actually quite excited about that, because the planner of Kim Kardashian's wedding is actually coming to South Africa. So
I'm literally dancing. She's I cannot wait.
So Colin Cowie is coming to
South Africa on the 3rd of May. Yes, he'll be here on the 3rd of May. Please contact Carly and her team. Go to the website As Good As Gold. He will definitely be here on the 3rd of May. There's going to be a huge talk that he's going to do to address and give the wedding industry advice. I mean,
even the event industry, because he is the planner for Oprah. He does all, he calls himself a party planner. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We wouldn't call ourselves a party planner.
party planners. Yes.
But he is the party planner for Oprah Winfrey.
And imagine that insight. I mean, this is somebody who's renowned. And I mean, literally people fly him out to all over the world, Europe, America, you know, all ends of Africa, whatever the case is, to do their functions, weddings and events. And, you know, to have that person come here, even for that short amount of time that he's here, shucks, I am claws in, knees in, everything. I'm going to be there. Make sure that you come through to that function on the 3rd of May. Contact As Good As Gold is the website, and you can contact Carly and her team, and they'll be more than willing to help you guys out.
Well, so we're super excited.
Yeah,
he's
crazy
very
excited.
to speak to the South African.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm sure I'm going to be like so starstruck when I see him. Nothing to say.
I think Gareth's going to be interviewing him. So
fab.
We'll do a nice interview.
Oh, so excited. I think this has been a really good show. Please, if you're a bride, even if you're a supplier, I hope you haven't taken offense, but instead taken lessons in terms of what to expect and what to say when you are looking for quotations. Be realistic and be conscious of your budget. All the best. Keep up with the conversation. #WeddingCentral. CliffCentral.com.